John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to
All Yesterday's Parties. I kind of loved it. Anyway, hello.
Hello.
And that's all. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Forgot something, didn't we?
We've done a mistake.
Yeah, we forgot the entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've basically just come out off on the back of doing our 10 albums that are awesome. But what happened was, whilst I was doing a bit of research into the albums I picked, I stumbled across a little something.
Something.
I was looking up a bit of detail about Wounded Rhymes by Licky Lee.
Right.
And on the Wikipedia page, it listed various plaudits that she was given. And there was a lot of top however many best albums of 2011.
Yeah.
But one that caught my eye, given that I'm always on the lookout for top 100s and things like that, was a Clash magazine top 100 of our lifetime.
Yes.
And I think that's interesting. What they meant was the top 100 of the magazine's lifetime.
Okay.
So they'd been, at this point, this was in 2015, they'd been going for 10 years.
Ooh.
And so this was the top 100 albums of the entire time that they had been an entity. As it turned out, Licky Lee came in at number 79.
Nice.
It's quite lovely. And actually, Fuck Buttons came in at number 78. Not with the album that I put forward, unfortunately.
No.
Not with Street
Horsing,
but with Tarot Sport instead.
Right.
Interestingly, none of yours made it in.
No.
Which I find very unusual, because not a single thing by Queens of the Stone Age.
No
Janelle Monáe.
No.
Which I found it especially interesting, because there's quite a few of the African-American artists.
Yes.
And interestingly, I mean, with most of the top 100s that I've looked at, there's been an awful lot of Radiohead.
Yes.
And with this, interesting, the only Radiohead album that I've seen is actually at number 2, which is In Rainbows.
Okay.
So, I'm glad that this is in the last 10 years. So, obviously, that would cast out a lot of the standard ones.
Yeah.
And there is The Eraser by Tom York. That's going to come in there.
Yeah.
But where normally you'd see an awful lot of Radiohead, there's an absolute ton of Kanye West.
Mm.
Now we've talked, we've had a bit of a joke, a laugh and a joke about old Kanye, haven't we?
We have, yes.
Yeah, we had our little, is it Kanye?
Or is it Trump?
Oh,
is it Kanye Trumping?
Or is it Trump
Westing?
Yeezing.
Yeezing. Yeezing himself into a conversation.
Oh! John's up to something.
Right, I'm just going to turn the heating off.
Yes, John's gone to do something with the radiators. But yeah. So we, given that we have, you know, had some in-depth, not in-depth, some fairly lightweight tomfoolery around about the theme of, this isn't supposed to be one of these things where, you know, I'm trying to actually talk while being distracted. You know,
no. This
isn't a Surgeon Simulator thing. It is just John buzzing around the room trying to turn the heating on.
I do apologise.
So, yeah, Kanye, all that, he's actually at number one of the entirety of this Clash.
Fucking hell.
Now, you say that. You say that, John.
Yes.
You say that. But what I say to you is, have you ever actually listened to an entire Kanye West album?
I can't say I have.
Neither have I.
Nah.
I've heard the odd tune here or there, So who knows? Maybe, we're doing another Van Morrison, but this time, maybe it's not right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's brilliant. Maybe he's worth all the plaudits he gives himself.
Maybe we've got him all wrong.
Maybe we've gone dead.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do, John?
I am guessing that we are going to listen to an album by Kanye West.
We are. Specifically, we're going to listen to the number one album from the Clash 100 of the Clash's lifetime, from the Clash.
Oh.
Specifically, which is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Yes.
Well, with an album title like that.
Yeah. It just trips off the tongue so easily, doesn't it? It doesn't sound in the least bit pretentious. We're not going to go into this being cynical, John.
No, we're not.
No.
Ooh, no.
No, we're going to plunge into it with the most openest of minds.
Mm. All of my minds is opens.
Oh, so opens. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have some beers.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat some Chinese fodder.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the number one album of Clash magazine's lifetime.
Yes.
And then we're going to have a bit of a chill about it.
That sounds like a plan to me, boss.
And we're already delving into the Geordie.
We're on a deep...
It's never far away.
Put some money in you, can you, meet that?
Shove some money right up your Yeezy. So I think what we should do there is go in and get war chopsticks out.
Aye.
And eat some lovely, lovely chow mein.
Oh.
And listen to some Kanye West. So if you give us a sting, John, we'll see you on the other side, ladies and germs. Well, that
is a 10% beer that I have managed to get on myself.
It should be, good Lord, it's the colour of evil.
And I've got a bit on my iPad.
That is quite something. Yeah, John normally tries to avoid anything stronger than about 4%.
Yeah.
But I think that's a fair indication of the attitude towards Mr. West's magnum opus.
This.
Well, let's go in gently. Let's not dive in both boots first.
Let's talk beers first.
Come on.
So, I have the BrewDog Coco Psycho, an Imperial Russian Stout brewed with chocolate and coffee, and it is, and I don't know how to put this other, I don't know how to say it other than like this.
10%.
I want. You've not actually drunk any yet, have you?
I haven't. No. Because I've only just spilt it all over my hands.
Have a little sip. I want to see what your face does.
That's nice.
Can I have a little?
Go for it.
I've never had this.
It feels like I've drunk a mouthful of food.
Oof, it's got the smell is dense. I can feel it. It's like snorting gravy. It's so dense. Bloody hell.
It's got body, hasn't it?
It's got texture of treacle.
Mm.
You can tell it's 10% as well. Jesus. That's brutal. It certainly shows up mine, which is Brodie's Prime by Hawkshead Brewery. A very, very nice beer indeed.
Yes.
But noticeably lighter at 4.9%.
Yes.
A very good beer. Hawkshead Brewery, actually, one of my favourite breweries. They're bloody brilliant. Their Cumbrian 5-hop is one of the finest beers I've ever sampled.
Super. And
so, but, yeah.
And how does it taste?
How does this taste?
Yes.
A lot lighter than that tarmac bottle of tar. Chugged down. Beautiful. It's a classic, you know, dark ruby beer. You know, it's all malty. and delicious, and I like it better. I'm going in for another bit. No! So now, basically, we've tried to avoid talking about the album we've just been listening to by talking about beers instead.
We avoided it very well.
We avoided it very well. We even dropped in an extra sting just for the funsies of it.
I just like to use them.
They are fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do another one.
Right then.
That was awesome. So, yeah. So much for killing time. It was an interesting experience, wasn't it?
It was.
Because
it wasn't Babylon Zoo grade.
No.
And it wasn't Van Morrison grade.
No, it wasn't. But neither was it Bob Dylan grade.
No.
It wasn't bringing us the surprises of,
Blood on the Tracks.
No. It was a bit kind of, I feel that I speak for the both of us when I say that it would have been a much better album had it not been for Kanye West.
Yeah.
He's not actually a very good rapper.
It didn't feel that. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, there was a track in particular where it definitely dawned on me the fact that the songs were better than he was.
Yeah.
There was that one. Was it So Appalled, I think?
There was So Appalled, which you pointed out as one of the ones that Jay-Z was
noticeably better.
There was a
handover from Kanye to Jay-Z.
The
minute Jay-Z took over, they have I'm getting into this.
Yeah.
But prior to that, there was Monster, which there's a kind of midway point. Nicki Minaj takes over, and it's even more so with that.
Yeah.
When she took over that track, I was electrified by it.
Yeah.
She was marvellous. The whole track became dynamic and exciting.
She does a lot with her voice when she's on. Yeah, yeah.
And similarly, back over to Jay-Z, he has a really crisp delivery, and he doesn't have quite the emotional kind of peaks and troughs and showmanship of Nicki Minaj.
No.
But he's very crisp, he's very precise, he delivers his raps so very, very well.
And they're both very expressive, which Kanye isn't.
So in both of those tracks, when someone else took over, it immediately became better.
Yeah.
And not by, small degrees, by great big strides.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it is actually kind of like Dylan before we listened to Blood on the Tracks. It was our preconceptions of Bob Dylan were, here's a guy who writes great songs that are sung much better than by other people.
Yeah.
And while we actually didn't have quite the same preconceptions of Kanye, it turns out that in this instance,
that was exactly what it was.
Exactly what it was. And the proof is right there.
In the album where he's put other people doing the thing better than he does it.
Yeah. So, interesting that a lot of the actual music that was put together, there are some quite dynamic tunes. There's some quite exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit like there's a lot of stuff being piled up on top of other stuff, and everything's at the same volume. So it's,
Everything's kind of mushed into your ears.
Yeah.
And then he's quite forcibly shouting over it.
Yeah, it does sometimes feel like you've been kind of thrown into a charity shop that's being pushed down a hill or something. There's just stuff everywhere and everything's clattering and banging, and it's just kind of, oh God, but can we just do a bit of this and a bit of that? And just get it. I mean, this is two episodes down from talking about Fuck Buttons, who pride themselves on making a hell of a racket.
Yeah.
And yet I feel that Street Horsing is more subtle than what we've just listened to.
In places, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, it's an album that doesn't try and be subtle. Its subtlety is nothing, and yet still, it achieves it better than Kanye can.
It's strange, because there are pockets of the album where you listen to it and you think, I like what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's arranging the stuff that's going on in the background, then he's doing pretty good work at that. I mean,
he could learn to pare back a little. He could learn to self-edit.
And
but he's starting from a very good point.
Yeah. But in terms of what he's presenting himself as, and this is the thing that always bugs me about Kanye, is if you ever watch his Twitter, or you see things that come through his Twitter, of him proclaiming himself to be the best...
Liz Lemon! Yeah. I make the best decisions in bike shops.
He'll describe himself as the world's greatest superstar or pop star or whatever, or you know, whatever else it is that an 8-year-old might call themselves if they're miming in a mirror with a hairbrush.
He is, in fairness, enormous.
He is.
He is massive. He's very easily identifiable. Thought, just as a little sidebar, do you remember when he worked with Paul McCartney?
And Rihanna.
But specifically Paul McCartney. I know that was on the same thing.
Okay.
But specifically the announcement came out that he was going to be working with Paul McCartney.
Right.
A load of Kanye fans were basically saying on Twitter, wow, isn't it so cool that Yeezy's giving some exposure to this unheard of guy, this Paul McCartney. He's going to be so grateful for the extra exposure. But then there are Paul McCartney fans mocking them for going like, "Oh, look at you having not heard of Paul McCartney." And I'm just watching all this with an air of wry detachment and thinking, "How many of you smug old white bastards could name a Kanye West album?"
Yeah,
this guy is massive. This guy right now is bigger than Paul bloody McCartney. How much of his music can you name, you smug twat?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, not knowing who Paul McCartney is, yeah, that's a bit silly. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, he was a Beatle. And that's not so long ago that you know people won't have heard of the Beatles.
No, I know.
But to get all smugsy about it is a bit much.
I mean, that's the same thing with any sort of tribalism, really, isn't it? Is in terms of... one camp versus another camp, you know, Xbox versus PlayStation, and
Oy.
Marvel and DC.
Pro-life versus pro-choice. They're the same people.
But yes, I mean, it is quite funny the way that people kick off against... And, you know, I mean, to an extent, I wonder how guilty I was of that before we started listening to Kanye. It was really difficult to try and drop... the preconceived notion that he's a tool.
He is a tool. That's the thing. And I mean, that is perfectly reasonable. He is a massive tool.
Yeah.
He's a tool. Well, again, Van Morrison, we already knew was a tool.
Yeah.
But we gave his album, we gave Astral Weeks a bloody good go.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. It's shit. You know, just such smug... Ah, pandering to him, his own ego, bullshit.
Yes,
and I will say, while there is a bit of that in Kanye's in this album, which I've already forgotten the name of the album. It's so pretentious. My dark fucking My Little Pony Diary, or whatever it was. there's a certain, you know, pretension and you know, just to that album, pomposity.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of moments of actually good music.
Yes.
So, you know, you can be pompous, you can be an arse, and you can still put out good shit. It's just unfortunate that when it comes to rapping, he's not very good.
No.
Although, I will say... There was that one track, Hell of a Life, that I did enjoy.
Yeah.
That had a cracking little rattle to it. And there was the cheeky little bit where he's rapping to the tune of Iron Man.
Yeah.
That was fun. But then there was that weird little kind of Who-esque
keyboard
organ, which just kind of went, willy, 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 willy. I know that I was listening to it. Stop, but this is annoying.
Yeah.
It's this kind of thing where you get a mosquito flying in your ear late at night. You have to fuck off.
Yeah.
I was enjoying that. Yeah, I was just dozing off and there's like, and just start, willy, 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 willy. No. Stop it. Learn to self-edit.
Yes.
And this is the thing, is that, you know, musically it's very good, but whenever Kanye pipes up, it just kills it kills the whole thing.
He's got a mundane voice.
Yeah.
It's adequate. He can rap.
Yeah.
I'll say that, because rapping is not easy. For all that the smug white wankers...
Hello.
Who will say, I spell rap with a silent C.
No.
for all of that, rap is not easy.
No,
it's basically shouting poetry at speed, and if you bloody well try that, it's not easy.
It ain't.
But if you're going to make a living at it, then you've got to, you know, be expressive. You've got to be dynamic, and he ain't. He can do it. He can do the words at speed.
Yeah,
and you know he writes. I imagine he writes all of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
Some of it's good.
Mm.
Some of it kind of stumbles into a lot of the very generic, and it's a little bit, really? Mm. Really? You want to be going down that road in 2010, I think this was released?
Yeah.
In 2010, you know, we've gone way past this now.
Yeah.
And I've read some there's a big long article about it on the Clash website.
Yes.
And I read some people saying, "Oh yeah, it's all a bit kind of tongue in cheek. It's taking a sideways look." And I listened to it like, I don't hear any of that. I don't hear any of the tongue in cheek.
No.
He's talking about bitches. He's talking about pussy. And talking about his own dick. I don't hear any of the tongue in cheekness of it. And I'm just hearing a man being proud of his own penis and sending pictures of it to a woman. It's like, oh right, okay. This is what you've chosen to rap about, you genius artist.
I mean,
you great rock star rapper.
What we have to be careful about, though, is say you think about Al Murray, and
yeah,
his act is very, very subtle.
It is,
and
so there is the possibility that I'm missing something.
Yeah,
and I'm willing to put my hands up and say, yeah. It is possible. Like you say, with Al Murray looked at, if someone who not a British, a white British person, who's not part of the culture that Al Murray is very much part of,
yes,
they might stumble into it and think, wow, that guy is one crazy racist motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he is, but we know it's all very tongue-in-cheek. It's all very ironic. It's a character.
And he's very subtly sending up and highlighting,
it's the Alf Garnett, wasn't it? Yes, it is quite clearly a racist character.
Yeah,
but it's a character that's sending up racists. So yeah, possibly Kanye, you know, rapping about sending dick pics to some random woman is doing it ironically.
Maybe it's part of a joke we don't get.
Maybe it is part of some kind of meta humour or something. I don't know. It just seemed a bit twatty. And that wasn't just one lyric in isolation. There were several lyrics where I was thinking, really?
And, I mean, to be fair, a bit twatty is how we generally view Kanye.
Yeah. So it's not a massive surprise.
So, yeah. I thought it was a good listen until stuff started going on for like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, there were some long ass tracks that didn't seem to really go anywhere or do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That is very much in parallel with Astral Weeks. It's just kind of like, yeah, we could chop chop.
Come on, stop it now.
We can cut 3 minutes off this and make it 10 times better.
Yeah. And again, it can't be argued enough how much better everything. It can't be argued. How much better everything was whenever anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, you know, Jay-Z and Nicki Minaj, they were the big moments. Also, John Legend pitched him. Yeah. The thing is that Kanye would either do a fairly run-of-the-mill rap, or would occasionally try and sing, which is very ill-advised, because it's like, find the key.
Singing is not his
suit. No, the key is nowhere to be found.
It is not his suit.
Near. So when that track with John Legend on it, it's like, oh, someone's singing. Oh, it's
that'll be John.
Yeah. That'll be John Legend, the one that can sing.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sad that this is the number one album of the Clash magazine.
Clash magazine, yeah.
Because to me, I've heard a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking the other week about Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. What year was that released?
That was 2011.
2011?
Hmm.
Where the frig was that in the top 100 then?
Exactly.
Because that album is excellent.
Yeah.
On near enough every level. You know, there's some very interesting lyricism, wonderful musicianship, cracking singing.
The production
from both her and the guests.
Yes.
The production's excellent.
Mm.
And it's an exciting and dynamic album, pretty much from start to finish.
Yeah.
And where is it? On that list?
I was going to say, I've got it here.
Alright. Yeah. Clever dick.
But
it's one of the things. There's four, I think it's four Kanye albums, one of which was a Jay-Z collaboration album. If you can have that much space for that pompous dick lord, but you can't find one slot for Janelle Monáe.
No. And, I'd be interested, actually. It sounds really... don't know. I feel like I'm about to say one of the whitest things ever. But it would be interesting to listen to one of Nicki Minaj's albums to see how that stands as a whole piece. Because having heard a guest on one song, it'd be interesting to see how that carries for like a whole...
We didn't mention Rihanna was on another track as well. Was immediately recognisable, much as Nicki Minaj was, and secondly, immediately better.
Yeah.
You know, immediately she was better than Kanye, and immediately the track was better for her being there instead of Kanye.
Yeah.
So it would actually be interesting to listen to both, Rihanna and Nicki Minaj.
In
their own natural habitat. Their own.
I mean, without trying to make it sound too much like two white men journey into hip-hop, but...
this has been, for the most part, a pretty white podcast.
It has.
I mean, we've managed to maintain it, at least with the stuff we've listened to and talked about, a fairly reasonable gender balance. Not so much with the people actually talking on the podcasts. Basically, if you're not a white man, we especially want to hear from you.
Yeah. But, you know, this is Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah, so any white men who are listening, we still want to hear from you as well.
Yeah.
We want to hear from anyone. Other people's experiences, it's a very important thing to us.
Yes, it certainly is.
It would be interesting if it's from people who don't immediately look like us.
Yeah. That's always a plus.
It is always a plus.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this feels like we've not really talked a great deal. But I already feel like we've said everything we need to.
There's not a great deal else to be said, I think, in this instance. It's
Kanye West album, all right.
Yeah.
Would have been better if Kanye West weren't on it.
Kanye West album, all right. Kanye West, not so much.
Yeah. So better than Babylon Zoo and Van Morrison. Not as good as Bob Dylan or Miles Davis.
Yeah. I'm down.
I think Miles Davis was good. We appreciated that everything was brilliant, if it didn't light a fire under us.
I did a gesture with my hands.
He did, which always works on radio, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He did kind of a big kind of. I Sorcerer's like Apprentice.
Crescendo. Gestures.
Yeah.
Gesticulations.
Gesticulation. Why do you have a chocolate orange packet on you on that? There's kind of there's an amp acting as a side table there.
There is.
Did you recently eat a chocolate orange?
I did recently eat a chocolate orange.
Is that just it? This is
just waiting to go in the bin.
I see. I just wondered if it was special or something. Yeah.
No, it's just that I'm a terrible human being.
Yeah.
I mean, I've still got my band Attack of the Vapors released their EP a few weeks ago.
Buy one.
Please.
No, don't even give me please bullshit. Buy one. You've been told. I've bought one.
You have?
Yeah.
You've done well. And also, I've got 3 CDs that I've put to one side that people have asked for.
Uh-huh.
I've got a box of cash.
If you're one of those people, just come round and get your CD, you lazy scrote. Go on.
I bought myself a little cash box.
I've seen it. It's a little cash box.
And while I was playing, our friend Sarah Brennan just minded the stall for me. And when she had to leave, she just put a post-it note on top of the box in an effort to deter thieves.
I can see the post-it. You're holding it right in your hand.
Yep.
You hear that? That's the sound of paper on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. There's a drawing in the middle of the post-it, and it says, "Box of loose nipples, definitely not cash."
Everyone's got a box of loose nipples. Whenever they perform a gig,
you certainly wouldn't want to put your hand in one, would you?
You wouldn't. No.
Absolutely not.
No! This is just full of nipples.
Loose ones.
Fuck!
I like my nipples to be tethered. Shackled what, nipples.
Like when you go into the
shackled nipples. Stage 3 cancelled. Thanks, Barry.
If you tether a nipple out like outside a shop. When you like you would a dog.
Yes.
I mean, just like a railing outside.
So I'm trying to mime a nipple on an audio podcast.
That's just
the most pointless thing I've ever done.
Just to make this easy for the people at home. Just try and imagine someone pretending to be a nipple.
That should help.
Should help. Yeah.
Help me.
Good.
I'm now imagining me pretending to be a nipple.
I'm imagining you pretending to be a nipple.
I don't need to imagine it, do you?
Well, I don't need to imagine
it. It's very poetic.
I don't need to imagine it because I'm here watching it.
It wasn't very good.
No.
If I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to think of other things we can use to fill the time. See what you've done to us, Kanye, you see? With your basic adequacy of what you call your job.
Mm.
We didn't dislike you enough to go off on a proper tangent, nor did we like you enough to wax lyrical about your works.
No.
You're just so adequate. You're all right. Get over yourself, basically.
Well, because he was doing that thing in one of his stage shows where there was a point in his show where there was like a UFO would come down from space and aliens would say, "Oh, Kanye, you're the greatest artist on the planet." And you think, why would you write that into your show? And it's hard.
It made me think a little bit of that what you said there. Remember, it was that song by Nelly. Was it Crazy Over You? I think it was. Where he basically wrote a song where, you know, the second most famous member of Destiny's Child was singing about how totally in love with him she was.
Oh! Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I just remember seeing the video and thinking, like, what? Oh, what kind of just bellend makes this song? Oh, you really fancy me, don't you? I'm going to write a song about how much you fancy me. It's not even going to be vague. I'm going to actually make it so you say, "Oh, Nelly, I really fancy you. I'm going to put that in the song and you're going to sing that. Oh, you're going to make kissy faces at me." I'm going to have a plaster on my face.
I can't get anyone to fancy me under conventional terms.
I hated that song so much. I mean, I still do. If it had a face, I would punch it.
Yeah, and I'd help you do it.
Hold it down. Yeah. Hold its face down.
Hold its face.
Just its face. Yeah. Grab it by the ears and I'll just punch the face. Punch the face.
We got on well with this. You can tell. So
I got on better with the Kanye album than I did with that Nelly song.
Yes.
We don't get invited on, you know, pop up radio shows.
No, we don't. Would you like to come on and talk about?
I might take off all the meat clothes. I am a silly Nelly. I've lost it now.
We couldn't even be bothered to do that Geordie style.
I don't even know what that was. John, for the love of everything that's holy, just press the button.
The button?
Put the sting button. The end. End it. End my misery. Push the button.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
With Nelly.
Silly Nelly.
Silly Nelly.
Oh, put your clothes back on, man.
Oh, too hot in here.
The music was by Attack of the Vapors. And the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.